What if I told you that one classroom could contain the entire American experiment, all its promise, all its failures, all its stubborn hope? In a weathered brick building in Holyoke, Massachusetts, fifth grade teacher Chris Ziyak faces 20 students who carry more than backpacks through her door. They bring hunger, trauma, brilliance, and dreams into room 205, where the distance between potential and reality becomes heartbreakingly visible. For one school year, Tracy Kidder embedded himself in this classroom, witnessing the daily miracles and quiet devastations that unfold when society's grandest promises meet its harshest realities. What emerges isn't just a story about education. It's a mirror reflecting who we are and who we might become. Chris Ziyak knows the first day sets everything in motion. Standing before her new fifth graders, she delivers her opening declaration. "I'm fair, but I'm tough." The words land differently on each child, some calculating how to navigate this new authority, others recognizing a teacher who won't be easily manipulated. But Chris is already reading them too. Her eyes scan the room, mentally noting Clarence's thick disciplinary file, Robert's restless intelligence, Pedro's quiet struggle. The classroom arrangement itself tells a story. Desks positioned to minimize chaos, sight lines preserved, walls waiting for student work. What looks like simple classroom management is sophisticated psychology. Chris understands that children thrive in the space between chaos and tyranny, where expectations are high, consequences are consistent, and respect flows both ways. The question isn't whether Chris is tough or fair, but whether she can remain both when struggles threaten to break her heart. Jimmy arrives exhausted, bloodshot eyes revealing late nights where television flickers past midnight. Chris can't change his home, but she must still teach him fractions. Judith squints at the blackboard, her intelligence obscured by uncorrected vision. She needs glasses, but fears the social cost. One conversation dismantles that fear, a small intervention that might alter her trajectory. Pedro's cheerful exterior masks silent weeping. He lives with a bedridden grandmother in housing that could collapse any time. His struggles stem from cognitive challenges and a home life where survival eclipses education. Clarence's thick file tells one story, but glimpses of vulnerability suggest another. His mother's absence from meetings speaks volumes. Alice, by contrast, arrives from stable ground, fed, rested, supported. Her steady progress demonstrates what's possible when basic needs are met. These hidden lives aren't background noise, they're the main event. A hungry child cannot focus on multiplication. A student fearing violence may act out to establish protective credibility. Chris cannot solve poverty or family dysfunction, yet she cannot ignore them either. Her daily challenge, acknowledging these realities while maintaining high expectations, understanding without excusing, supporting without enabling. Room 205 mirrors Holyoke's transformation. Puerto Rican students, descendants of Irish and Polish immigrants, children from various backgrounds creating distinct language patterns and behavioral expectations. Economic divisions run deep. Some students arrive with full supplies and homework showing parental help. Others lack basic materials, their assignments revealing absent support. The science fair becomes a painful showcase of which children have resources versus those struggling alone. Social hierarchies form along complex lines. Judith and Alice bridge socioeconomic differences through friendship, while others cluster by neighborhood or culture. Clarence's influence stems from street credibility, not academics. Chris strategically pairs students during group work to break down barriers, addressing cultural misunderstandings directly. When Clarence becomes unmanageable, the institutional response, removal to a special program, reflects how we address challenging members through separation rather than integration. Room 205 becomes a laboratory for fundamental questions. Can children from different backgrounds work together? Can institutions adapt to diverse needs? Can individual effort overcome systemic disadvantages? The answers illuminate who we are as a society. Teaching demands emotional work rarely acknowledged in education debates. Beyond lesson plans lies exhausting choreography, managing students' emotions and her own while maintaining professional composure. Within minutes, Chris might firmly redirect Clarence's disruption, encourage discouraged Pedro, mediate peer conflict, and enthusiastically introduce new concepts, all while suppressing frustration or exhaustion. This constant emotional regulation drains energy few outsiders recognize. Her relationship with Clarence exemplifies this challenge. His behavior triggers frustration, yet Chris must channel emotions constructively, maintaining high expectations while acknowledging struggles, balancing consequences with opportunities, continually rebuilding a relationship damaged by daily conflicts. Chris's genuine care leaves her vulnerable to heartbreak. She worries about Pedro's housing, Judith's mission, Robert's emotional state. This caring drives extraordinary efforts, but exposes her to pain when students face circumstances beyond her control. When Clarence transfers to a special program, Chris experiences relief that other students will receive more attention, guilt about her role, concern for his future, and doubt about whether she could have done more. What makes this labor exhausting is its invisibility. No evaluation captures Chris's skillful de-escalation or empathetic listening that helps troubled students re-engage. Yet this emotional labor yields teaching's deepest rewards: authentic connections, trust built through consistent care, the joy of witnessing growth. Amidst daily struggles, Room 205 witnesses genuine breakthroughs when teaching and learning truly connect. Claude's science fair transformation exemplifies this. Previously disengaged and disruptive, he displays unexpected focus and creativity. His presentation reveals not just scientific understanding, but pride, a quality Chris has cultivated all year. For Judith, breakthrough comes through writing. Her stories reveal sophisticated narrative understanding surpassing many adults. With the right prompt and creative space, she produces work demonstrating profound insight, expanding her sense of possible futures. Robert's progress is subtler but equally significant. After months of resistance, he begins completing homework and participating constructively. Chris embraces this shift, recognizing that learning requires emotional readiness. Even Clarence experiences moments of connection. His unexpected cooperation after learning about his transfer reveals previously hidden self-regulation capacity. His farewell card shows emotional awareness, contradicting his disruptive persona. These breakthroughs emerge from consistent expectations, creative engagement, and genuine relationship, not single strategies. Chris cannot force these moments. She can only create conditions where they might occur. They reveal learning's non-linear nature. Progress includes plateaus, regressions, and sudden leaps, requiring faith that invisible growth continues even when evidence is lacking. As June arrives, Room 205's story offers no neat conclusions, only transitions and the recognition that a teacher's work is never truly finished. Field day brings rare, pure enjoyment. The class's unexpected tug-of-war victory becomes a metaphor for their journey. Underdogs pulling together, balancing struggle with joy. Distributing final report cards, Chris confronts how traditional measures fail to capture real growth. Letter grades cannot reflect Claude's newfound confidence, Judith's blossoming creativity, or Robert's incremental progress. Farewell cards reveal impact beyond academics. Students express gratitude not for what she taught, but for how she made them feel: seen, valued, capable. Clarence's brief return visit offers poignant reflection. Standing hesitantly in the doorway, he seems smaller, caught between old identity and uncertain future. His polite decline to enter encapsulates their complicated relationship, connection and separation, hope and resignation intertwined. As students depart, Chris confronts the reality that she cannot control what happens next. Her contribution, though significant, remains just one factor in their complex journeys. In a world obsessed with measurable outcomes, Room 205 reminds us that education's true work happens in unmeasurable spaces. In the moment a child's eyes light with understanding, in relationships built through consistent care, in seeds planted in soil we'll never see bloom. Chris cannot fix broken systems or heal wounded childhoods, but she shows up anyway, September after September, carrying hope seasoned with hard-earned wisdom. That's not naivety. It's the stubborn faith that keeps civilization moving forward, one child, one classroom, one year at a time.